Welcome, friends, to Living the Adventure. I'm your radio host, George Runyon, and I'm so glad you have joined us as we study together God's Word. I hope you can go on this journey with me every Sunday at 6:30 here on GOD Radio 1 as we learn how to develop our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Be sure to invite a friend to listen each Sunday at 6:30. Thank you all for listening and support these broadcasts in helping defray the financial costs. Your help is very much appreciated. Please drop us a note and let us know you're listening and give us your comments on the program. You can write us at CCM P.O. Box 152-388, San Diego, California, 92195. Now let's pray and begin today's lesson, developing your relationship with the Holy Spirit. Father, in Jesus' name, we come again boldly to the throne of your grace, that we, your people, might obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. And Lord, we do not have a problem saying we are needy. We need your help every day. Lord, we thank you for the word of God that gives us your wisdom, gives us understanding. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who gives us power and strength to walk out this life in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Help us today as we study your word and we consider our devotion for the day, having the same spirit of faith. Thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's begin with Scripture, 2 Corinthians 4:13. Paul says, "But having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak." Paul used the word spirit with a small s because it is referring to the spirit of faith, not the Holy Spirit itself, himself, but the spirit of faith, which is motivated by the Holy Spirit. One could say it is the spirit of belief. True faith is given to an individual by the Spirit of God. The same Holy Spirit that caused the prophet to believe and speak also caused the apostles to believe and speak. The same Holy Spirit is at work in believers today. It is the spirit of faith within me that produces a need to speak. My speaking stems from the faith that is within me, given by the one behind my faith. Amen. So the radio broadcasts, we do not come out of our own head. We come to the radio because of a need to speak the word of God. And we preach because of a need to speak the word of God. So when a person is filled with the Holy Spirit of God, they will be led to speak about the Lord. This should be the experience of every believer in Christ Jesus who is being led by the Spirit. Doesn't mean you're going to be on the radio, everybody. It doesn't mean you're going to be behind a pulpit. But every individual that's called by the Spirit of God is appointed to speak of the Lord Jesus Christ and to share your testimony with others and to tell people for the reason of the hope that lies within you. So that happens out of being filled with the Spirit of God. We're led to speak about the Lord. And people have said to me, "How come you always have to speak about the Lord?" Because the Spirit of God leads me to speak about the Lord. You know, I don't force it on anybody, but as the situation reveals itself that God is wanting to say something, then I'm motivated to speak. This should be the experience of every believer in Christ Jesus who is being led by the Spirit. The Spirit has come to speak of Christ. When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness of me, John 15:26 records. The King James Version says, he will speak of me. Every believer is called to speak or testify of Christ. This is not simply the preacher's assignment, but every child of God testifying to others of Christ as a vital part of our Christian development. Many of God's people are stunted in their growth because they keep their faith to themselves rather than sharing what Christ has done for them. Paul stated in Romans 1:16, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. This is not This was not limited to the apostles, but was meant to be a model for believers in Rome. It should be an example for every believer in the 21st century. Why? The gospel remains the power of God unto salvation. The good news tells us of Jesus the Christ, who was put to death for our sins, whom God raised by the power of his Holy Spirit and seated at his own right hand in heaven. The gospel is the only answer to the human condition. The world is looking for salvation, most of the time in the wrong places. This is why we must declare by the Spirit of God the faith which was once and for all handed down to the saints, Jude 3. As you trust the Spirit of God, you will be astonished at how the Lord will use you for his glory. Father, again we pray and say, help us to speak from the faith that we've received of Jesus by the Holy Spirit. Fill us with boldness to speak to others about our faith in Christ Jesus concerning what he has done for us. Lord, give liberty to your people. Help us to be a people that speak the word of God with boldness and freely testifying of what you've done in our lives. We thank you, Father, that it's the Spirit that searches all things. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 10 says, things which eye has not seen, ear has not heard, which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. When in 1 Corinthians 2, 9 it's quoted alone, the full thought that Paul is communicating does not come through. Listen to this. Paul is quoting from the passage in Isaiah 64:4, there in 1 Corinthians 2, 9. 1 Corinthians 2, 10 says this, is the key to understanding what the Spirit wants communicated. For to us, God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all the things, even the depths of God. The Isaiah passage finds its ultimate fulfillment in Christ, who gave us the Holy Spirit as promised by the Father, Luke 24:45-49, when Jesus said to his disciples, go wait in Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. We can know the thoughts of God through our relationship with the Holy Spirit. He reveals God's intent through the Scriptures as well as God's will in our personal lives. Oh, how important this is. The Holy Spirit desires to bring each of us a personal great awakening. Paul expressed it this way, all things become visible when they are exposed by the light, for everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you, Ephesians 5, 13 through 14. The Holy Spirit always works to keep us awake and give us light. As God's light enters into our lives, we are able to discern what is transpiring around us. News reports are not sufficient to keep us informed. Instead, our source is the Holy Spirit. He searches the depths of God and brings to people of God revelation. Let me just stop there and give you a personal testimony of that. As I think about the days in which we're living, my discernment is that God is somewhat doing the same thing in his church as he's doing in the world. One of the things that the Lord is doing is he's bringing to light what is righteous and what isn't righteous, what is man and what isn't God. What is motivated by man and man's desires and not God's desires. There seems to be a parallelism going on as the Spirit of God is exposing evil in the political realm, in the lives of people, in different organizations, and even in his church. God is bringing to light things that are not pleasing to God, that are contrary to the Scriptures. God is doing a work in our day. If we have discernment to see it, it'll encourage us to understand God is on the throne. Jesus is reigning and ruling already over the nations. It doesn't happen at the speed that we're used to. Everything instant, everything, just turn on the TV and there it is, instantly in front of you. But it doesn't happen at that rapid speed. But it is happening. God is doing a mighty work in the earth. He's bringing a great cleansing of nations. And things aren't going the way many thought they were going to go. But God's word is clear. The gospel has come and brought light into the world. Not everybody has received Jesus, but the light of what Christ has accomplished, what Christ has came to do, is being manifested. If you have your eyes open, if you're reading your scriptures, you can see by the Spirit of God what the Lord is doing. The Lord is at hand. We can say that with confidence. I'm not just talking about the second coming of the Lord. I'm talking about his presence now in his church, in his people. God is working in a great way as we see young people turning and wanting to come into authentic things, not into phony things. We see a great move of God upon the hearts of young people these days, and many testimonies are being raised up. So I just wanted to inject that into this thought here that we're talking about, and how the Lord is working in our lives. The Holy Spirit has raised the level of prayer in the Lord's church, which is a clue. When the level of prayer begins to be raised, that's a clue that God is up to something. God's getting ready to do some extraordinary things. Many are sensing that God is currently preparing his church for revival. I prepare to call it a great awakening. As we hear reports of many challenges throughout the world, it would be easy to become discouraged and apathetic. For those that are seeking God, it is a time of great expectation. The Spirit of the Lord envisions numerous believers preparing for his presence to break in and give opportunity for multitudes to turn to Christ. God's acts on behalf of one who waits for him. We are called, as Isaiah 64 verse 5 and part B of that verse says, we are called to wait on him. And when we begin to wait on God, the acts of God begin to show up more and more in our lives. Let me encourage you. This is a day and hour to wait on the Lord. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to awaken us to what he desires to share with us on a personal level. Each one of us need to ask the Holy Spirit, awaken me to what you desire to share with me today. He loves for us to press into him and learn of God's will in our lives. Father, I pray for a great awakening to take place in me. I desire to know your thoughts and to be aligned with your will. And then, Lord, if you would take that to the local church, we pray for that, a great awakening to take place in the local church, that your people together would rise up. And, Lord, we ask you for a great awakening to take place in our cities and in our region and in our nation and in the nations of the world, Lord. But begin the work in me. And somebody said one time, if you want to, as you pray for revival, draw a circle and get into the middle of it and say, Father, come and fill this circle with your presence. Let me be a revival to people. Let me show what it is to live fully for Christ. Amen. Now, the Bible encourages us that we are one spirit with him. 1 Corinthians 2, 11 through 12. Who among men knows the thoughts of the man except the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. That's why it's so important for us to connect with the Holy Spirit and to draw close to him, because he is the one that reveals the heart of God, reveals what's in God's mind and what's in God's thoughts, for he is the Spirit of God. So according to scientists, billions of thoughts go through our brain daily. We possess an amazing amount of stimulus of information. Think of it. Your brain assimilates all the colors and objects you see. It takes in the temperature around you, the pressure of your feet against the floor, the sounds around you, and even the dryness of your mouth. Your brain holds and possesses all your emotions, thoughts, and memories. Most of your thoughts are undetected by the conscious mind. There are signals that control all your bodily functions. Paul tells us in these scripture verses that it is our spirit, the spirit of man, that knows our thoughts. In the same way, the Holy Spirit knows all the thoughts of God. It is extremely important for us to develop a daily relationship with the Holy Spirit, because He is the only one who can help us know God in a deepening way. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the Father and the Spirit of the Son. This is why Paul prayed that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ, Ephesians 1:17. The Father's desire is that our spirit be united with His Spirit, making it possible to grow in our knowledge of God. In Paul's letter to the Corinthians, he taught that we have been joined with the Lord. Paul spoke about being led by the Spirit in his letter to the Romans. Paul wrote of the fruit of the Spirit we talked about already in our devotional studies in the letters to the Galatians. As we fellowship with the Holy Spirit, He will reveal more and more of Christ to us, and we will become increasingly aware of the Holy Spirit's abiding presence. As we increase in our knowledge of Christ Jesus, we will also increase in our knowledge of the Father. Through this working of the Spirit, we are able to fulfill God's desire and experience God's rest. We will also be able to share God's will with others, which has been revealed in Christ Jesus. So, Holy Spirit, we just ask You to reveal God's plans to us on a daily basis. Lord, You are always much more willing to share than we are willing to receive. Forgive us for that, Lord. Cause us to move into a receiving mode. And we know that this is usually because we are so caught up with our own agenda, hindering us from hearing Your voice. Father, today I call upon You to help us to grow up into the Lord Jesus Christ. We just pray that, Lord, You would be upon each one of us to take greater control of our lives. I pray to the increase of wisdom and knowledge of Your Son. Help the radio audience that's listening. Share with others what You have shown us, so that, Lord, we might be Your representatives in the earth. We thank You for that in Jesus' precious name. Now let's look at 1 Corinthians 10:4, and think about drinking from the spiritual rock. All drank that same spiritual drink, for they were drinking from a spiritual rock which followed them, and that rock was Christ. What's Paul talking about? He's referring them back there in the Old Testament when they were in the wilderness and they had no water, and Moses struck the rock and water poured forth, and they all drank and were satisfied. And what Paul was writing is that that rock, that water in the rock, was Christ Himself. It was the life of Christ that was being poured out upon those people in the wilderness when they drank the water that flowed out of the rock. All drank from the same spiritual drink. They were drinking from a spiritual rock which followed them, and that rock was Christ. It is vitally important to understand how God has chosen to reveal Himself to His triune creation man. His choice was to reveal divine community, Father, Son, and Spirit, living as perfect unity. The one and true God, the Son, existed as the pre-incarnate Christ in the Old Testament. God's purpose was the Son would take on human form. He was the Messiah before the incarnation through the virgin birth. God's appointed king. God has always been the king. He intended to be the Israel's king, as revealed in 1 Samuel 8:8. As He led Israel out of Egypt, He provided Himself to be their sustainer. He proved Himself to be their sustainer. In the wilderness, when they needed water, He supplied water out of the rock. It was not just a natural drink, but a spiritual one as well. Paul taught that it was a spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ made it possible for us to drink of that spiritual drink as well. Consider what Jesus said in John 7, 37 through 39. Now on the last day of that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Water is necessary in order for life to be sustained. Throughout the Old Testament, Christ is seen as the life-giving water that God has provided. The spiritual rock is pointing to this very moment of Jesus, that Jesus was speaking. The same Holy Spirit that caused water to flow from the rock and be supplied to Israel's need has now come to cause rivers of living water to flow from your innermost being. Today, you can drink deeply from that rock, Christ Jesus, by receiving the Holy Spirit's power in your life. Go ahead and drink anytime you want. Just say, "Holy Spirit, come and fill me with Christ." Say to him, "Cause your living water to flow from my innermost being." Begin to worship him. Yield your tongue to his control and let the spiritual water flow. Do not be surprised if the Holy Spirit gives you a new language to help you in your worship of God. Can I share a personal testimony at this juncture? Back in the 1960s, 64, I was introduced to the Holy Spirit. Now, I didn't know anything scripturally, really, except what I had read about the Holy Spirit. I knew the Holy Spirit is mentioned in the Word. I knew that he's the third person of the Trinity, but I did not have a personal encounter with the Holy Spirit. But I went to a little church meeting on University Avenue that my dad had gone to, and when he had gone to that, he came home a Presbyterian, speaking in tongues. So this was a whole brand new idea. And so I went to a service down there, and I was just hungry for God. I didn't know anything about doctrine. I didn't know anything about Pentecost, anything like that. I just was hungry for God. I went forward, and six men laid hands on me, and I heard them all standing around me speaking in some foreign language. I didn't understand it, and they said I could speak that way too, and I didn't know what to do. I stood there and I felt something, but I didn't know what to do about it. I went home that night and got into my bedroom and got down on my knees and began to pray, because the pastor said I could do that. And so I began to seek the Holy Spirit, and I said, "Holy Spirit, I want to have what you have for me, and I want to be able to speak in a new language so to better enhance my prayer life." And the Lord showed me a sin I had committed that very day. And I knew I had committed that sin. And I repented of it. I confessed it to God. And as soon as I did, the best way I can describe it, I felt something around my stomach area break. It was like a dam broke. And all of a sudden, I began to speak in a new language that I had never spoken before. And that increased and increased more and more. And I'm telling you, that language is what Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians 12. It was a prayer language. And in my experience, I've only brought a message in tongues maybe three times all these years, because I immediately began to read the scriptures about prophecy. It said, "Rather that you prophesy." And so I never pursued speaking in tongues and bringing a message. I pursued God about prophecy, about being able to bring words of edification, exhortation, and comfort. That really attracted me. But I speak in tongues every day. That enhances my prayer life. And I began to be able to communicate with God with a freedom that I'd never had before. And as it flowed out of me, it was just like the Bible says, it felt like water, living water flowing out of my innermost being. Out of my belly will flow rivers of living water. It wasn't coming from my brain. It wasn't coming from my head. It was coming from inside my inner being. And as I studied the Word, I realized the Holy Spirit, or my spirit, the spirit of man, that the Spirit of God quickens, is in your inner being. It's somewhere in that region. The Bible refers to it as the heart. In other words, the very core of things. And as I've read the scriptures, that's what I've come to understand. My spirit man is really the core of my being. And what happened is when I prayed that prayer, the Holy Spirit quickened me, my spirit, and my spirit began to have a language. Just like my head had words that I could pray out, natural words that I could put in a cohesive sentence and pray to the Lord, but out of my belly flowed rivers of living water. Language that I had never learned, given by the Holy Spirit. And it has enhanced my prayer life and my worship life. I can worship Him anytime in the Spirit, and don't make a show of it, but in my private life, I can just lift my hands and worship God and go beyond my natural language. So that's my own personal experience of what Paul's talking about here. And I think we're going to close today at that point. Next week, we'll pick up in our devotion, Pursue Love and Desire Spiritual Gifts, 1 Corinthians 14:1. So we'll talk about that next week. Thanks for being with us today. I hope these devotions are helping you. And again, I'd love to hear from you, you that are listening to the broadcast. Would love to know what the broadcasts mean. We are happy to be able to be here every Sunday night on GOD Radio and speaking the word of the Lord and bringing views of devotions to God. That's our theme right now, is talking about devotions and developing our relationship with the Holy Spirit. So again, thank you for joining us today. If you would like a copy of one of my books, I have five. The fifth one is just getting ready to be printed, but four are there on the website. Go to our website, www.sdccm.org/shop. It'll take you to the books that are there. And forgive me, there's one book that isn't there, and I've got to get it on the website. And it's called Mandated Promise of Greater Things Fulfilled. But the book that we're speaking from, the Holy Spirit Devotional, is there, and a book on warfare, developing the spirit of warfare, learning how to battle in the spirit. That book is there, Fit for Engagement, I call it. And those two books for sure are there present. Oh, my book on Ephesians, on the book of Ephesians, is there. And so you could order that, what we're charging, yes, helps pay for the book, but it also helps sustain the broadcast. Again, thank you for being with us, and remember, as we always say, walk with the King.